either reserve. You're listening to leaders.com. Leaders.com.
First of all, we begin by praising Allah Azza wa Jal and thanking Him for this beautiful opportunity and this great blessing that we have amongst us and within our community, that the fact that we have honored scholars, the fact that we have a beautiful place of worship, the fact that we have freedom of religion to practice our religion freely, the fact that we are allowed to come to the masjid, the fact that we are allowed to symbolize our masajid, for example, with a dome, the fact that we can give adhan out, wallahi, this is a huge blessing. And for us to be successful as an ummah, for us to be successful as a community, we need the quality of gratefulness, the quality of gratitude. And we should always thank Allah Azza wa Jal for what we have. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, on the narrative of Musa alayhi salam, when Musa alayhi salam was addressing the Banu Israel, and he was saying, remember, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a declaration, what was that declaration of Allah Azza wa Jal? It was, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِ لَشَدِيدٍ. That remember when Allah Azza wa Jal made that declaration, that if you are grateful for what He has given you, then He will always increase you. He will not always increase, He will not only increase you in terms of monetary wealth. For example, we have some wealth and we thank Allah Azza wa Jal for that. Yes, He will indeed increase our wealth if we thank Him. He will increase the barakah and the blessings if we thank Him for that wealth that we have. But what about all of the other ni'am that we have? For example, the freedom of religion, as I mentioned moments ago. We should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the fact that we have a masjid. And one of the ways of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have a masjid is by making correct use of the masjid. Because if we look not too far away from us, a few years ago, in certain European countries, there was a stagnating population of Muslims going into the masajid. Eventually, the laws in those countries became such that the Muslims were prohibited from building masajid. And a few years later, they were prohibited from attending those masajid. So we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the fact that we have these masajid, for the fact that we can have Qur'ans and we can have madaris and we can send our children to learn. For indeed, if we don't appreciate that ni'mah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take it away from us. So we don't want to come to a stage where, for example, it is extremely difficult or impossible for us to have a masjid, or impossible for us to attend a masjid. So we begin by thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that, and we should always constantly thank Him for all of the ni'am and the bounties and the blessings that we have. We are in this beautiful month of Muharram, one of the sacred months of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And last month, according to the Islamic calendar we're talking about, we were in the month of Dhul-Hijjah. And in the month of Dhul-Hijjah, we celebrated or we commemorated the legacy of our Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam on Eid al-Adha. And we know the famous story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, where he saw a dream and he was going to sacrifice his son Ismail alayhi salam because of the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what inspired me to talk about this was shortly after the Maghrib Salah, I was having a conversation with an old acquaintance of mine. And his name is Ya'qub. And Ya'qub happens to be a police officer working within this particular area. And we got chatting and he was telling me that there are some major issues that the Muslim community are in denial of, first of all. And secondly, are aloof of the fact that most of us are not aware of what is happening with our children. Now, when we go to the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam, we see how after Ibrahim alayhi salam was thrown into the fire, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of this in several places in the Quran, and one of them is in Surah Safat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the people of Ibrahim alayhi salam, what did they say? They said, "Ubnu lahu bunyanan faalquhu fil jahim." Build a building, light it up, and throw him into it. So understand that this was not a few pieces of firewood or charcoal or briquettes that we might get from the services and put them together, add a little bit of fire lighters or kerosene and light it up like a small barbecue. This was a building which was purpose-built to set alight. So they really wanted to get rid of Ibrahim alayhi salam completely and his legacy. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had other plans. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the people of Ibrahim said, "Ubnu lahu bunyanan fa'alquhu fil jahim." Build a building and throw him into the fire. And that fire, we know from the historical accounts, was such a huge fire that they could not throw him into the fire. According to the historians, they had to catapult him into the fire from quite a distance. Such was the intensity of the fire. And according to some other narrations, the fire was so intense that even when the birds flew over the fire, they were sucked in and drawn by the heat of the fire, that just by passing over the place of the fire, they were burnt alive whilst flying and dropped into the fire. Allahu Akbar. So, when Ibrahim alayhi salam was saved from this fire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention in the very next verse of what Ibrahim alayhi salam did. The first thing he did was he made a dua. And what was this dua? Wallahi, it's a very, very powerful dua. He said, "Rabbi habli min as-salihin." Oh Allah, grant me offspring who will be from amongst those who are pious. And the mufassirin go further and say, min as-salihin means also the children themselves, the offspring, they should be pious, and their parents, meaning they should be from pious people, they should be sired from pious parents. Subhanallah. This is a very, very powerful dua. Now if we look at why did Ibrahim alayhi salam make this particular dua immediately after being saved from the fire? Why not any other dua? Because he realized, and the mufassirin explained, that what if Ibrahim alayhi salam had perished in that fire? Who was going to carry the flag of da'wah? Who was going to carry the flag of the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The kalima la ilaha illallah. So we should understand from this that Islam is not egocentric. The work of da'wah does not depend on the sheikh, on the molana, on the karisab, on the mufti. It depends on the whole community at large. Each and every one of us has a responsibility of inviting people to Islam. And indeed not only us, but our children. Now how do we get our children into that rhythm of also inviting other people to Islam? That's if they see us as parents inviting people to Islam. And one of the best ways we can invite people to Islam is through our character. We don't need to be muftis, and we don't need to be imams and sheikhs and molanas to invite people to Islam, no? Because, for example, when we read Surah Yasin, we know of the verse, when the person came from the other side of the city, from far away, and they were calling people to Islam. That person, the Quran doesn't mention that person was a great scholar. No. For example, look at Luqman. Luqman wasn't a great scholar, but he was giving his son beautiful advice. Now, when we go on the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعِي قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. Allah says in the next verse in Surah Safat, after Ibrahim alayhi salam made this dua to Allah azza wa jal, then when Ismail alayhi salam was of an age of discernible age, when he could understand speech, when he could understand when someone is talking to them, Ibrahim alayhi salam told him something. And he said, "Inni ara fil manami anni adbahuk fandur madha tara." He said, "Indeed I see." Now this word indeed, inni, is a very interesting device used in the Arabic language. It means indeed, but it's got a much stronger meaning. We cannot really translate it into the English language with one word. Because what Ibrahim alayhi salam is about to tell his son is something which is really amazing. Something which is unbelievable. How can a father, who after so many years was gifted with this beloved son of his, then he said, "You know what? I saw in a dream." And he didn't say, "I saw in a dream." He said, "Inni ara fil manami." I keep seeing in my dream. That means he kept on seeing in his dream, "Anni adbahuk," that I am slaughtering you. Allahu Akbar. Now, I want us to contemplate over the statement of Ibrahim alayhi salam to his son. Imagine, as a parent, you had to tell your son, I saw in my dream, and I keep seeing in my dream that I'm slaughtering you. So come on, let's go. Here's the knife, and let's go, I slaughter you. We cannot even agree with our children over the type of shoes they're going to wear to school. Because we know, for example, the school has said that they need to be black shoes and they need to be of a certain type. But we can't even agree with them what type of black shoes. They will say, I want these ones. And you will say, no, take those ones. Or the school bag. For example, the child will say, I want this type of a school bag because it's in trend, it's in fashion. And you will say, no, that's too expensive and it doesn't look good. And, you know, he will say, no, I want the Batman one. And you will say, no, what's Batman? So we can't even agree with our children what we want to go eat out for dinner. For example, it's the weekend. We always go out for dinner. We can't agree with our children what we're going to eat. Imagine agreeing with your son you want to slaughter him. Subhanallah. Now what did Ibrahim alayhi salam do? And this is the beauty of the Anbiya alayhi salam and how they conversed with their children. He said, فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. He said, so take some time and think and tell me what you think about this dream that I'm seeing. Subhanallah. Ibrahim alayhi salam knew full well that this was a commandment from Allah Azza wa Jal. But he didn't say, here's the knife and we're going, so you better get ready and I'm going to slaughter you now. This is your last moments, you know, have your last meal and we're going. He said, this is a dream that I'm keep seeing. So you tell me, what do you think of this dream? Subhanallah. This was the door that Ibrahim alayhi salam opened with his son. He opened a door so wide that he could converse with his son about his dreams. Now I want us to go forward in time. And this goes to why I began talking about this. What really inspired me to talk about what we're talking about today was because of my friend Ya'qub. Because Ya'qub alayhi salam, he had a conversation with his son, a similar conversation, also about dreams. But in that instance, it was the son talking to the father about his dreams. And what was his son, what was the son saying to the father? He said, إِذْ قَالَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذْ قَالَ يُوسُفُ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِ إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبًا وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ رَأَيْتُهُمْ لِي سَاجِدِينَ. Allahu Akbar. Allah says, Yusuf alayhi salam was a young boy. This was a young boy. And he saw this dream. And in this dream, he's saying, oh my father, oh beloved father. And he's saying, Allah says, Yusuf alayhi salam said, Ya Abati. Yusuf alayhi salam told his father, Ya'qub alayhi salam, Ya Abati. He says, Ya Abati, oh my, the word for Ab, the word for father in the Arabic language is Abun. Ya Ab, we can say Ya Abi, oh my father. But look at the speech of Yusuf alayhi salam. He said, Ya Abati. This extra ta denotes mahabba. It denotes love. So it's as if we're saying, my beloved father. Now, let's be honest with ourselves. Which one of our kids says, my beloved dad, or beloved dad, can you pass me the ketchup? Very rare. They say daddy. Now the equivalent of my beloved, maybe in today's language you could say, daddy, I love you. Now wallahi, if our children have to say, daddy, I love you, or mommy, I love you, how will that make you feel? But you know what? They can only say that when they really feel their love for their parents. Remember, children, most of the time, are quite innocent and quite honest. And they speak their heart. So when they say, mommy, I love you, it means they have been shown love in the first place for them to reciprocate that love and to say, mommy, I love you, or daddy, I love you. How many times do we as parents really demonstrate our love for our children? Yes, we can say, I go to work and I work 18 hours a day and 20 hours a day to put food before you and to clothe you and to feed you and to take you on holiday twice a year. But if you are at home, and remember, you don't have to buy your children the latest PS5 or PS6 or whatever is out there at the moment, for them to love you. The Quran doesn't say that Ya'qub alayhi salam bought Yusuf alayhi salam PS5. And then he said, Ya Abati, oh I love you father. No. The Quran doesn't say Ibrahim alayhi salam bought something really fantastic for Ismail alayhi salam. And then he said, I'm going to slaughter you. And he said, oh father, you'll find me amongst the patient ones. Do as you please. No. They were conversing with one another. That's how they formed this bond. That's how they were able to talk to each other about their dreams. That's how the father was able to talk to the son about his dream, and the son was able to talk to his father about his dreams. Today, our children come back from school. They don't even feel the inclination to talk to us about what happened at school. You ask them, what happened at school? It was okay. What's your teacher's name? Some lady. What's your friend's name? Some people. What happened at school? Nothing. And we say, but my children are talking to me. That's because when your child was small and he wanted to talk to you, you were glued to the TV because your favorite teams were playing. And he was saying, Daddy, Daddy, you know, I can't find the hat to my Lego and I'm playing. And you said, ask your mummy, or you didn't even look at him. Wallahi, that little toy that your son was talking about means so much to him. But you shoved him away and you pushed him away, or you pushed your daughter away. And now they don't even want to talk to you. So don't go complaining that my children don't talk to me. It's because you didn't talk to them in the first place. That's why they don't feel the need to talk to you. And look at the speech of Yusuf alayhi salam. Allah says, and the verse is absolutely beautiful. Allah says, إِذْ قَالَ يُوسُفْ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِي إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبًا وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ. And then the speech is repeated again. رَأَيْتُهُمْ لِسَاجِدِينَ. This verse, I saw in my dream, is repeated twice. And you know, if you think of young children, when something really exciting happens in their life, say for example, they were in the park or at school, and they come to you and say, Daddy, Daddy, you know what happened today in the park? So and so. And you say, yes, what happened? And say, you know what happened when I went there? And you say, what happened? Then he says, you know what, Daddy, I forgot. Because they're so excited, they repeat themselves. And here Yusuf alayhi salam is so excited, he's repeating himself to his father, Yaqub alayhi salam, subhanallah. This was the love that he had for his father. This was the love that Yaqub alayhi salam had for Yusuf alayhi salam. Now, I want us to show the importance that Yaqub alayhi salam gave to Yusuf alayhi salam when he was talking about his dreams. Imagine our children come to us to talk to us about their dreams. Do we give them any importance? And listen to this carefully. This is really beautiful. Yusuf alayhi salam said, رَأَيْتُهُمْ لِي سَاجِدِينَ. I saw them prostrating to me. Now, in the Arabic language, there is a pronoun which refers to human beings or things with aql. So there's a special pronoun to refer to human beings, and there's a special pronoun to refer to things which are non-human, like trees and stars and the moon. So what did Yusuf alayhi salam see in his dream? He saw 11 stars. He saw the sun and the moon prostrating to him. So the correct term in the Arabic language would be ra'aytuha, which means I saw these things, the inanimate objects. So I saw them prostrating to me. Or if you really want to show them importance, you can say ra'aytuhunna li sajidin. But Yusuf alayhi salam used the word ra'aytuhum, meaning they are people. Not stars and the moon, which are inanimate objects, but animate objects, which are people. So Yusuf alayhi salam had already recognized that the sun and the moon and the stars means my parents and my brothers. It doesn't just mean the stars and the moon. So he had already figured out what the dream meant. And Yaqub alayhi salam realizes, and this is why in the next verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Bunay, that Yaqub alayhi salam said, Ya Bunay, and he's reciprocating the love. Remember, the son said, Oh my beloved father. And what is the father saying? Oh my beloved son. Because Ya Ibni is the correct word to say my son. But he said, Ya Bunayya. The same terminology that Luqman used with his son, Ya Bunayya aqimis salata wa'mur bil ma'rufi. This is the same terminology. My beloved son. My son who's so special to me. La taqsus ru'yak. Don't tell anyone about your dream. So he realized that Yusuf alayhi salam was so smart that he actually figured out what this dream meant. That the sun and the moon and the stars meant that he realized that those were children. How often do we figure out the intelligence of our children? And the only way to figure out the intelligence of our children is by listening to what they say. When they come and tell us, Baba, I had so many problems at school, and this one is my friend, and that one's my friend, and that one's no more my friend, and they tell you all of these names of their friends. Do we need to pay attention to that. And we need to understand to say, why is my son every day coming to tell me that he had a fight with so-and-so? Or so-and-so wants to be his friend and so-and-so doesn't want to be his friend. It means there's a problem somewhere. Why is my son always making and breaking friendship? For example. Or when the son comes to us every day, he's telling us about the things that he drew. Or he's telling us about how lovely the color of the wallpaper is. Then we need to understand that our son or our daughter loves something in particular. They have certain traits. Their intelligence, the gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them points to a certain direction. For example, if he's really good at math, how are we supposed to know that they're really good at math? It's when we're talking to them. And we're telling them, you know, if you add this and this, the other day there were 14 cars and there were 7 cars there, and that happened, and they tell you the answer is 21, then you know that they're good at math. But we won't understand this unless we converse with our children, unless we engage with them. And this is what we learn from Ya'qub alayhi salam and his son, and Ibrahim alayhi salam and his son, and Luqman and his son, that they engage with their children and they realize their potential. They realize what they're good at. Then Ya'qub alayhi salam goes on further and he says, Ya bunay, la taqsus ru'yaka ala ikhwatik, fayakidu laka kayda. Don't tell your brothers about this dream. Why? Perhaps they might hatch a plan. They might hatch a plan. And that's where he left it. And then further he said, Inna shaytana lil insani aduhum mubin. That indeed shaytan is a clear enemy to insan, to humankind. He didn't say, don't tell your brothers because they are shaytan. What did he say? He said, don't tell your brothers. Perhaps they might hatch a plan. He didn't say a bad plan. He didn't say a good plan. He didn't say a plan. Then he said, Inna shaytana, that shaytan is the one that causes people to make these plans. And shaytan is the one that misguides people. He makes waswasa to people and he tempts them. And he confuses them and they end up hatching all sorts of plans like these. So, if we look at this, Ya'qub alayhi salam knows that some of his children are not the best of children. And we as parents need to understand that. Remember, Ya'qub alayhi salam is a perfect parent. Look how he's behaving with his son Yusuf alayhi salam. And that's the same way he would have done with all of his other children. But, sometimes, the behavior of our children is not in our hands. We can try our best. And wallahi, there's so many parents that email the ulama, that contact us, and they say that, you know, I've done so much for my son. I've tried to keep him from fitna, and I've taken him for madrasa, and I've taken him for extra lessons in fiqh, and I've taken him on the weekends for the seerah program, and I've done A, B, C, and D, and I've joined him in the Islamic club at school and at madrasa. But sometimes the children end up in the wrong hands or with the wrong company. And this was not unique to Ya'qub alayhi salam. Let's look at Nuh alayhi salam as well. If Nuh alayhi salam gave da'wah for 950 years to people that were not his family, imagine how much time he spent with his own family. Right to the point that at the last minute he was asking his son to come aboard on the ship, on the boat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, his actions are not those of actions of believers. Leave him. Right up to that point, he was giving da'wah to his son. So he was giving da'wah to his son from the moment he was born, right up to that moment. But at the end of the day, sometimes our children, they make their own decisions. And we need to understand that. First of all, we need to respect their decisions. Sometimes our son wants to become, for example, the son wants to become a sports coach. And your hope in your son or in your daughter was that he may become an accountant or a doctor or something great. But that's the decision they want to make. That's the university they want to study at. Yes, you can advise them. But you can't force them. You can't say, you know, when you were a baby, I changed your diapers, so I will pick who you're going to marry, and I will pick which university you're going to, and I will pick A, B, C, and D, and right, I will pick the kafan of your, when you pass away as well. No. They make their own decisions as they grow older. We try our best when they're young. When they're young, yes, we have complete control over them. What time they eat, what time they sleep, what they eat, the people they interact with. But as they grow older, they meet with different people. They are exposed to much more things that are not in our control. But if we want to understand our children, we need to understand them from very young. And we need to engage with them in a positive way from when they are very young. Just like how Ya'qub alayhi salam was engaging with his child. You know, today, a lot of parents are unaware of what their children get up to. They might say, my son is an angel. He doesn't even go out in the weekends. Or my daughter doesn't even go out with her friends to the coffee shop or to the mall. But do you know what your daughter is doing in her bedroom with that device between her hands? Do you know what your son is doing on that computer? Have you realized that your son doesn't talk to you because you don't talk to him? And instead he has other people to talk to out there. And they talk to strangers on the internet. And they're exposed to things which are way beyond our control. Way beyond even our imagination. They are open or they are susceptible, they can be abused on the internet. We don't even know that. We don't even know who they're talking to, the strangers that they are communicating with. And don't think that this is only what happens on the news, or we read about this in the newspaper, or we hear about this on the television. No. That happens in homes just like mine and yours. It happens with children just like mine and yours. And we should also realize that in the same way that Ya'qub alayhi salam had some children who were not so perfect, there are also members in our family that are also not so perfect. They may be the uncles of the children, they may be their cousins, they may be their siblings, directly brothers or sisters. We have a duty to warn our children about them and keep an eye over them. Just like Ya'qub alayhi salam was warning his son Yusuf alayhi salam, he was telling him adult things. For example, you need to understand that you can't tell your brothers about this dream of yours, because they might do something which might be not so pleasant. You need to understand, or we need to understand, that we need to tell our children, so and so member of our family, yes, he's a good person, but beware of A, B, C, and D. And I'm coming back to where we began, with my conversation with this police officer. What really irked me was the fact that he said, most of the cases of abuse, and we're talking about abuse of the most horrendous types, are that occur with children, happen, and the perpetrators are from within the circles. Family members, uncles, aunts, cousins, brothers, sisters, those are the perpetrators. So we need to understand that our families are not perfect, and we need to safeguard our children. We need to warn them about these types of things. Let them come to talk to us even about the slightest thing that they see, about the dreams that they have. Don't let them go and talk to A, B, C, and D, Fulan, and Alan on the internet. Because they will be misguided. All those people, they don't want khair for our children. They want to abuse them, they want to groom them, they want to do all sorts of things with them. Let our children come and talk to us as parents. Be the best uncle you can. Be the best aunt you can. Be the best cousin you can. Be the best brother you can. And that's what the Quran teaches us. You know, today, a lot of people have huge degrees. PhD and post-PhD and doctorship and all sorts of different degrees in secular education. But in terms of really being a better human being, we are so backward. We don't even have our GCSEs in being a human, in being a good human being. And this is where the Quran differentiates from secular education. The Quran says, learn. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Go and spend as much time as you want with those people who have knowledge. Learn from them medicine, learn from them ilm, learn from them accountancy, learn from them engineering. But the rest of the Quran is all about being a better human being. Being a better father, being a better brother, being a better mother, being a better aunt, being a better neighbor, being a better citizen of your country. And talking about being a better citizen of your country, and this follows from the Jum'ah khutbah today, and this also goes, it ties in with what we're talking about, with our children, the future of our children. We need to understand that we have a role to play in securing the future of Islam. Just like how Ibrahim alayhi salam, the only concern that he had immediately after he came out of the fire was, oh Allah, grant me offspring that will carry on this work of da'wah. If we want to foresee what Islam and the Muslims will be like in 20 years time, in 15 years time, in this particular country, in this particular city, observe the youth today. Because tomorrow they're going to be the community leaders. If we want to ensure that Islam has stable footing tomorrow, we need to ensure that we prepare for that today by educating our children, by engaging with our children, by playing an active role in the law-making processes of this country. Don't shun politics. Remember, there are many places in the world where the Muslims took a back seat in terms of law-making processes. They didn't get involved because they said, that's not to do with us. Later on, a few years down the line, there were certain laws that were made, and laws continue being made, that were directly against the Muslims. Although the Muslims were in a majority, but in terms of actual political standing, they are a minority. And when those laws are made, for example, that you cannot build a masjid, those laws are made by whom? They are made by people who don't want you to have freedom of religion, who don't want you to be as a Muslim or to practice your religion. And they practice what's called ethnic cleansing, because you don't take a stand in the future of your country. You don't think about, you can say today we have masjids, and today we have molanas, and today we can wear, you know, Islamic clothing. But do you think in 20 years time, if you continue with what's happening right now, you'll have that freedom in the future, or your children will be able to enjoy the same Islam that you enjoy today? No. We need to work for them today. We need to understand that we need to ensure that we have political representation in parliament, in different places, in the councils, in places of authority. We as Muslims need to stand that. We need to stand up and stand up for ourselves, stand up for our children. Being a good parent doesn't only mean that I'm going to get my son a house and give him a nice fat bank account and leave him a huge inheritance. Have you left him the legacy of all of the prophets before us, what they left their children? The legacy of Islam, the legacy of da'wah, the legacy of freedom of religion. That's what we need to think about. All of that will come. Remember, their risk is fixed. Before they even came into the world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote that so and so will get so much. We don't need to worry about that. You need to worry about how your child is brought up and how much Islam they're going to get and what sort of things that they are being exposed to. That's what we need to worry about. That's in our control. The risk is not in our control. Our risk, our own risk is not in our control. What about the risk of our children or other people? So we need to understand. We need to take off these blinkers. We need to think broadly, think long term, think intelligently. Look at the people around us, the communities and the countries around us. Look how they have thought and planned for future generations. We as Muslims, do we plan for future generations? Do we think, for example, and this was the sunnah, for example, even with our great scholars like Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, when they used to have durus, when they used to have lessons, the questions that used to be asked were, a lot of them were hypothetical questions. What happens if such and such happens? Do you need to make wudu? Do you know that some of the questions asked were, what if a person has a bag of urine? Can he perform salah if he has a bag of urine in his pocket? Now, at that time, that question seemed very absurd. But today, don't we have the same situation, where people have to have these sort of things because of their health situation? So we benefited from that. So do we think, for example, that what if what happened in Rohingya or in Burma or Myanmar, if that happened today, what would we as Muslims do? What if, for example, we saw recently there were earthquakes and hurricanes and all sorts. What if that happened to us? What would our action plan be? Do we have an action plan? Do we have a plan in the first place? Have we even thought that that will happen to us? We saw that, for example, how so many people opened up their masajid as civic centers, as shelters, etc. Do we have a plan in place for that, if that were happen today? Remember, these things don't happen by warning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't send us a 6 month letter to say that in 6 months time, on the 14th of January 2018, we're going to send you an earthquake. No, it happens in the flash of a second. We need to be proactive as Muslims. We need to stand up. We need to use our brains, use our resources in a good way. Don't be fooled by entertainment. Don't waste your time sitting and watching useless football games that take away all of our time and our energy and resources. And we scream when someone scores a goal. And we are so angry with the wife when our team loses. And we don't want to talk to our children when our team loses. That's not the legacy of the Anbiya. Ya'qub alayhi salam did not stop talking to Yusuf alayhi salam because his favorite team lost. No, he engaged with him. And we need to understand, we need to live reality. We need to understand that entertainment is what it is. It's entertainment. It takes you away from reality. But we need to understand that we are in reality. Life is not a dress rehearsal. We need to plan for the future. We need to plan for our children. We need to begin with engaging with them. We need to begin by engaging with our children, finding out what they're good at, doing things with them, cooking with them, doing the garden with them, doing sorts of handiwork with them, to see what they are, what really are they good at, where do their interests lie, and guide them accordingly. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who continue with the legacy of the Anbiya alayhim as-salam. Wallahi, there's much more to be said. For example, in the following verse, Ya'qub alayhi salam says, and I will end with this, وَكَذَلِكَ يَجْتَبِيكَ رَبُّكَ وَيُعَلِّمُكَ مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ وَيُتِمُّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكَ وَعَلَىٰ آلِ يَعْقُوبِ كَمَا أَتَمَّهَا عَلَىٰ أَبَوَيْكَ مِنْ قَبْلُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاقِ. He's praising Yusuf alayhi salam. And he's saying, wallahi, Allah has chosen you. وَكَذَلِكَ يَجْتَبِيكَ رَبُّكَ وَيُعَلِّمُكَ مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ. And he's going to teach you how to interpret these dreams. And he's going to teach you how to figure out loads of different things in life. Because he's chosen you, you're a special person. Do we know that each and every one of our children is a special person? Do we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen each and every one of us to do something in particular, to have a purpose in this dunya, like we mentioned in the Jumu'ah khutbah? Do we understand our purpose in this dunya? That Allah has brought us in this dunya to do something in particular, something that Allah has made, has blessed us to be good at. Do we? And a lot of us don't even know what we're good at. And you know why? It's because when we were children, our parents kept on digging holes and poking holes within us to say, you're ugly, you're fat, you're useless, you're not intelligent. Because they kept digging these holes. Instead of filling us up with confidence, just the way Ya'qub alayhi salam filled his son when he was a little baby, and he said, wallahi, you have been chosen, and you'll be good at interpreting dreams, and you'll be good at fulfilling the legacy of your forefathers, Ibrahim alayhi salam, and his family, and it will fulfill the legacy of your father who Allah has chosen to be a prophet, and I'm making dua that Allah also make you a prophet. So we should also make dua for our children to say, Ya Allah, please bless my child. I'm a doctor, Ya Allah, please make him also a doctor, or make him even a better doctor, for example. Those are the duas we're supposed to make. Not, for example, when our child comes back from school with 95% or 95 marks out of 100 in a test, and you say, ah, next time you better get 100%, because when I was your age, I used to get 100% without even writing the exam. Give them confidence. Because that same confidence that Ya'qub alayhi salam gave Yusuf alayhi salam when he was young, do you know the responsibility of a parent? The responsibility upon each and every one of us. And I will end with this, and this is absolutely mind-blowing. Later on, Yusuf alayhi salam came out of a prison cell. Where did he go? He went to the king's court, the ruler's court. And he said, give me the reins to control the economy of this country. The economy of this kingdom. A person coming out of a prison cell and saying, and telling all of the economists, and telling the minister of finance, and telling all his advisors, and telling all of the politicians and parliament, and all of the royal advisors, that step aside, I will run the affairs of this country for the next so and so years, because inni hafidhun amin. That takes a huge amount of confidence. Imagine walking into the houses of parliament today, and saying, step aside, Minister of Finance, or whatever you call it today, and saying, I am more qualified to run the affairs of this country than you for the next so and so years. And you've just come out of prison. Subhanallah. And for what type of crime also were you in prison as well? Not any ordinary crime. This was a crime that you were involved, or you were supposedly involved with the royal people of that country, with the leadership of that country. And you come out of prison and you say, step aside, I will run the affairs of this country. Wallahi, it takes a certain amount of confidence. And that confidence was instilled when Yusuf alayhi salam was a young boy by his father. We are an apologetic ummah today. We are shy to be Muslims. We cannot perform salah when we're at work. We cannot perform salah in the airport if we can't find a prayer place. Because we think that if someone sees me, for example, at the services, putting my foot in the sink, whew, what will happen? Or someone sees me in the car park performing my salah. That's a huge thing. What will they think of me? Ya akhi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you need to perform salah 5 times a day. And He gave us specific times. If you are shy to perform your salah at work, or you shy to perform your salah at the motorway services, then really, why are we shy to perform salah? Because we don't have that confidence of being a Muslim. Because when we were young and we went somewhere, Papa said, don't wear a topi there. Because when we go out there, you can't be, you know, this is not the type of place you want to wear a topi at. Or, you know, this is not the type of place where you wear a scarf. Or this is not the type of place where you have a beard. You know, you need to shave it off and look, you know, blend in with other people. Blend in with your Creator, with the commandments of your Creator. Blend in with your Anbiya alayhi salam. That's who we need to blend with. That's who we need to identify ourselves with. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the confidence to be Muslims. To grant us the ability and the confidence to stand up for our fellow brothers and sisters in lawmaking, in society, in community, in every facet that affects our lives as an ummah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ease the distress and the difficulties that this Muslim ummah is facing across the globe. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant shifa to each and every one of the Muslims across the globe who are facing some sort of illness and difficulty in their lives. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ease the lives of our difficulties. We ask Allah to ease our difficulties in our lives. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant happiness in our marriages. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our children in all good ways. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the future ummah and the future generations an ummah, which is an ummah that carries the legacy of the Anbiya alayhimu salam, and indeed the legacy of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive each and every one of us. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.